Item 6C, community development, general plan.
I gave it to her, Rick.
You're awesome.
Great.
Ms. Wendy, you're doing fine.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe take a break after this one.
After this one? Okay, sure. Then for those online, the silence here, we were just handing the documents that are posted on the computer that you can read as well.
Just to note, the PowerPoint, though, is not online. It will be on Zoom.
On Zoom.
It's not on the online version.
Mr. Dean?
Yes, Rick Dean, Community Development Director, shifting gears into the world of planning. Wanted to bring to the board for direction regarding some goals that we're trying to set within the planning department, and also give you an update of where we stand with our budget, essentially. So before you now is a spreadsheet that demonstrates our budget since 2016 to 21, basically. And to point out that the fees have not been adjusted or addressed since 2013, with the exception of the mining fees, which in 2016 were reduced from $2,000 to $1,400. Since then, it's been static. So just want you to understand that essentially the general fund is subsidizing approximately 75% of the planning budget at this time. Our revenues, approximately $350,000 per year, and our expenses are in the range of $200,000 to nearly $500,000. So that's information for you consider should you choose to direct us to increase fees or not.
Supervisor Halpern.
I'm going to have to do it now, but could I get a breakdown of salary versus, say, legal expenditures, those kind of things in your department?
Yeah. Can. I don't have it off the top of my head.
No, as I said, but it's at a later date.
Yeah.
Should be fine.
Yeah. I can generalize.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure. You know, I think we're all should be cognizant of what costs the county to do business. It's just high time that we get to the people have to pay for the cost that what it costs us. You know, I don't want to ever be perceived that we're subsidizing any one group or entity, and that way it's fair and equitable across the board. I get that a lot of people will always complain about costs, including me, because you know I don't think anyone around here is pathetically rich where you know that kind of thing comes into play. But it's the reality of what we deal with. And so I think that's just only fair and equitable for everyone to pay the same, you know, going right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the intent of getting a full disclosure. Mm-hmm. It's time to look at the piece. And one of the things that I want to look at in particular is some of the fees charged by the state, whether or not we can do something about that, because that's a major barrier in the amount that they charge for permits for things that are largely ministerial.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested from a legal perspective how we can sidestep some of that so we can get more people under compliance, and we can also increase our fees that are warranted but are prohibitive because of those overburdening fees.
If I could piggyback on that, I recently had an email exchange with and I don't know whose constituent he is, but complaining about the recorder fee. If you recall, the state mandates a fee.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I'm trying to do is, you know, and you'll see me trying to send stuff to you through the CSAC, to up our game about pushing back, because it can't be just you or I. It's got to be the citizens that have got to push back.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the effect of when you do something, and it's not just me, us, and Siskiyou County. It's all of the state. It's all the rural counties. You know, it's across the board when we're fighting the state on fees. But, you know, again, the true cost is what we, I think we need to pay.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing that's in my bullseye is this automatic charge by Cal Fish and Wildlife to spit out a letter on things that have nothing to do with Fish and Wildlife anytime there's a permit application. And that's $2,000 or $2,500?
It's north of $2,500 now.
Okay.
Any project that's not, we can't exempt from CECO.
For the public to understand, if I want to have a wedding event and I submit an application for a event such as that, we're paying Fish and Wildlife for some strange reason north of $25,000.
$2,500.
Just to say, okay, we concur. That's absurd.
And I would say we need to get our state legislators to push on that. That would be a priority, right? I mean,
it is for me, and it's
have you contacted them? Because I have.
I have.
Yeah.
It's a major compliance issue.
Right.
It's a major issue preventing us from actually collecting the fees for these kinds of events in the county.
Well, who's the public look at? They look to the supervisors, but we have control over something like that.
Yeah.
Well, but that also adds that it shouldn't be coming from each supervisor. It should be coming from this board as a whole. Directed at an efficient game with regard to that fee versus just one of us picking it off and we just get sidelined.
I don't have an issue paying a fee if there's work warranted, but when there's absolutely no chance of an effect, then you just give up.
There has to be a justification.
Okay, that's right.
Right? And that's why, you know, our fee structure should be, how do we justify it? It's what the cost of doing the business is.
Right.
Supervisor Cobson?
So we're just launching into this, right? We're cutting off your presentation.
Sorry about that.
That's quite all right.
Go for it.
I think we all know where we're headed, right? So I get it. I get it. But as you've heard me say, and we've met with the contractors, and you know, we have to be able to produce timely. If we just increase the price, that doesn't do anything for us. But we have to also be timely in how we roll out whatever's coming down our way with that fee increase. Software, technology, things that can reduce costs that we need to embrace. Things that we can do online that save time for our staff and save time for those applying for permits. Those should be encompassed in a fee structure as well. I get what we're trying to do, but we actually have to, I think, produce value as whoever it is, John Q. constituent, comes to the window and says, I need X permit. There should be a confident expectation by that constituent that they can receive what they need in a timely manner to be able to function, whether it's a business or whatever it might be. I know we've been under the gun staff-wise and through COVID and everything else that's happened in the last couple of years. I get that. But we do need to be cognizant of what the expectation is from the taxpayer.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do solemnly try our very hardest to achieve those goals. And, you know, at this point, it's a comfort level with the board on how much this is subsidized, whether or not you want to bring on more staff or not. You know, just giving you the picture of what it is and what we've been having for status quo for quite a while. At this point in time, you know, the board essentially has been comfortable with subsidizing the planning department 75%.
I don't know if we've been comfortable. I just think that...
probably a bad term.
I just think that, you know, if it's more staff that's required, I mean, I hear all the time, why aren't we paying staff more? Why aren't we paying inspectors more? And then you find out that it isn't all too bad. Yes, there could be some improvement. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But delivery is where I think we fall down. And I think that we can meet a fee increase if we can deliver the goods in a timely fashion. I think people would have that expectation that, yeah, we're going to have to pay for it. But we just have to be able to deliver it. Yeah. And that's where I'm going to get hung up. If we can't deliver, it's going to be a tough sell for me. But if we can embrace technology, you're going to have my attention and expedite and make the department more efficient. I'm there. I'm just not for the status quo, and that's not a negative. I just think that we have to improve.
Supervisor Howell?
So through the chair, I look at this in two pieces. Where my division is there's always, and I know there is room for improvements in efficiencies, reduction in redundancies, new technology, and those kinds of things to deliver a product in a more timely manner. The other piece I look at too is that without increasing fee structure, you can't hire the staff that you need to do the processing either. So that's also a self-fulfilling prophecy, which leads to more time delays and not being timely. So I want to separate that argument into two pieces when we have this discussion, in that we look at the fee structure, but we also have to look at how much investment we're putting in and modernizing the processes within the county to be more timely. Quite frankly, help you do your job in a more efficient manner. Mm-hmm. And that's not just for your department. That goes across all departments, sure. From my perspective, because it's more than just the community development department that has their hands in this pie from a delivery standpoint. It's across the board in many other departments in the county. And we've got to get better at that.
Yeah.
And we kind of
it must be more healthy.
We cut you off at the pass with your presentation. I'd like to
all right, I'll circle wagons back up here, Steve, but back on track.
We'll however pattern you want to go ahead. Unless the colleagues have any questions for that's fine, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to tie this into some goals that we think need to happen. I mean, the general plan, for example, has not been updated or touched since 1980, 60 years and change. So with this, I want to work to getting a committed account set up within the planning department to start putting money into that account so that we can achieve one day, hopefully not too long down the road. And later, I'll bring Hazen Lang up here to discuss some of the goals that we have. But I want to point out, Supervisor Howell, your question about how much space do you own to the personnel cost, and it's about $1.1 million, basically, right? So we have the revenue that we bring in, about $350,000. And then the expenses is basically what's been kicking our tail, so to speak, because as our fee structure is currently structured right now, so let's say we have a project that involves an environmental impact report, so Crystal Geyser, for example, right? So there's a consultant that's involved with that. And the projects at that level, we're able to basically do a pass-through of the cost, so that a consultant is hired by the applicant. We're the middle person, basically, that encumbers the account to service that need. We do that also 10% for admin on top of it, okay? Historically, any project that comes through mitigating a deck or any CEQA document, we do not have that relationship in place, right? So, for example, we're doing a mitigating aid declaration. The applicant pays for some of the technical studies, that the consultant that's involved is on our dime to pay for. And there are cases where we're doing, taking in $900 for an application and spending $35,000 to get it done internally because we don't have that pass-through mechanism for the lesser projects. Back in the day, life was simple. Staff could do these projects without issue, right? So what I would ask you to entertain is that we can elevate those all of our CEQA documents into that same level of pass-through, basically. So you can go to slide page 6, I believe it is.
Before you leave,
go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, just go to the next slide.
Supervisor Houghton?
Chair, so what I was after, Rick, we should go back to the last slide. Is that when you have wages, does that include, is that only your department, or does that include, like when you touch council, council's department, or if you backfill with a contractor, is that in wages, or is that over in expenses?
That is 100% wages. For personnel.
For your department.
Your for the planning department.
Okay.
So and that includes code enforcement.
Okay. And then from the expenses standpoint, what I was after there is who else is siphoning off dollars to support what you, you're...
Yeah, so the bulk of that are contractors doing CEQA documents. Okay. Such as E-Corps or ICF or you know, other contracts that we contract with to do that. So, you know, the bulk of that is a situation where we're sub EIRs and we're paying directly for consultation. So, so as you know, historically we haven't always been fully staffed, right? So, in the case with Christy Cummins, Alan Carter, they were in a position where they had to really go out and pay for these services to get projects through and done. And, you know, 2016, high numbers, right? The last couple of years with Mr. Skierski, we have been able to negotiate and have folks voluntarily pay for that. Not a good position for us to be in, but that's why those numbers are a bit lower.
So when one of your department decisions or whatever is runs through the planning commission, where are those costs allocated?
The building department?
Well, your department. If your department interfaces the planning commission, well, where is that cost? Is that solely wages? Or is there costs with contractors and expenses? How's that?
Yeah, both. So the majority of it's going to be staff and wages to bring the project forward, do the staff reports, present it to the planning commission, and all the other things that we do. The other is going to be expenses, you know, basic supplies and whatnot, a smaller portion. But
the bulk.
Jeez, I keep touching that. Sorry. The bulk of that is for outside consultation.
Okay. I guess what I'm getting at for the rest of the board is that when we look at this picture of expenditures, it's helpful to me to be able to articulate to my constituents how much is county process in their fee and how much is contractor overhead or something else, you know, to be able to justify whatever fee increases.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have those answers.
Yeah, that's generally proposing that you know, if we made a small modification to our fee schedule, didn't even touch increasing fees at all, we could probably you know cut those expenses in half. And those monies could be utilized for...
See, that, I think that would really help me in trying to figure out what the proper fee is to be charging the customer. You know, if I can justify the fees, then that's great. You know, but if it's just this fee for government bureaucracy, that's a really tough sell with constituents and those trying to do business in the county.
Supervisor Cobson?
You've opened the door again.
Yeah.
So let's look at this bottom line for 2021 and the revenue and the wages and the expenses. Even if you increase the revenue, which is fees, by 20%, right, you're only looking at, what, $72,000 to the bottom line. Nothing. And I'm not saying I'm advocating for a 20% increase.
Yeah, right.
Even if you take away the expenses and cut that in half, again, you're talking nothing to the bottom line. How do we take what we have, which is, you know, the biggest expense is wages, and I don't want to infer that I'm looking to cut wages. How do we use that wage line to expedite our process to make it more efficient so that it actually offsets what the general fund is actually going to produce or be required to subsidize? Are you with me?
Sort of, kind of, maybe. So it's an increase of staff and qualified staff. So.
Well, but yet, if you increase your revenue fees by 20%, you can't, you know, at 72,000, you might get what? A three-quarter person on right for that time. And again, it's a drop in the bucket to the overall picture. So I'm going to focus, I guess, a bit on our process. Is there something in our process that is cumbersome that we need to streamline so that we have all of that working, but somehow offsets that subsidized portion?
I would say there's not a lot of meat there, right? Planning is a onerous proposition to get through, right? It's not step up to the counter, get your permit. There's all kinds of
and I get
28 different categories that have to be analyzed and dealt with and presented, and that list gets longer every year.
Understood.
And more scrutinized.
Yes.
For risk.
If I may, sorry.
Go ahead.
I'll just jump in and be along these lines, though.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Chair, I don't like to step on his toes. So. But in regards to Mr. Dean, kind of putting you on the spot, though, along the lines of what Supervisor Cops have said, those 28 steps, I take it probably 28 of the steps, the 28 are state requirements, and they're not necessarily county requirements?
Well, they're all built into, yeah, CEQA. Anytime you do a California Environmental Quality Act review, you have elements that have to be addressed. One is traffic,
okay.
Bio studies, botany studies, all these things, wildlife studies that are incorporated into that, that have to be mitigated or addressed to some extent at a professional level,
okay,
all packaged up together. You know, so we basically organize all that, present the staff report for that particular project to the Planning Commission. So there's a huge timeline involved. That's just the way it is.
I'm
completely open to any way to accelerate that treadmill.
I had the opportunity to work in the Oregon State Legislature, and they only met every other year. Unfortunately, our California one meets every year, so there's always
something new.
But in regards to following along what Supervisor Kopsen was talking about, and maybe where Supervisor Hopps going, along our process, it isn't necessarily, is it, am I fair to say it's not necessarily our choice for the process, but it's dictated by the state, and then we're doing everything we can to make it as efficient as possible?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't make the rules.
I'm kind of like that, but I'm even saying, even if you, again, I'm not advocating for this, so anybody in the public that may hear this, this is not what I'm advocating, but if we double the price of revenue, it's still a drop in the bucket to what we're subsidizing. So yeah, how do we get a handle on that? What fixes it? And I'm not, again, I'm not advocating for doubling the price. But I'm just trying to bring reality to the discussion.
So if you want to talk reality, what would fix it is do everything what it costs. Humboldt County, for example, everything that they do, the entire fee schedule, is what it costs staff to do. is what gets billed, and it's fourfold of what we charge.
Right.
That's the simple reality, I guess.
We need to hear it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I see you have the same, this chart maybe ahead of you. But, I mean, this is like slapping me in the face, comparing our prices to other similar counties. I mean, you talk about not only having 20%, but my God, we're three times behind on some of these fees that other counties are. And I'm not saying we need to increase by three times. All I'm saying is that we're not even in the game with being able to meet our in-house costs with the state regulations with the current fee structure we have in place. And I know how we got there. You know, we all sit here and we think, oh my God, we can't, the fees, everything else, we're struggling to get businesses going and everything else. But at the same time, we're preventing businesses because of our fee structure, because we can't get things through the process. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to have this conversation going forward. It's going to be a tough one, but I'm happy to have it, because what this says to me is we're going down a tube here that we're not going to recover from, and our public's going to suffer tremendously if we don't get our house in order and be able to do things timely.
So we all know the definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same results.
Yes, we're all the same.
So if we continue to do this.
Yeah. You did fine.
Right? We're all fine. If we continue to do this, where are we going to be?
Same place we are right now. Mm-hmm. A little bit deeper.
We know that our constituents aren't happy with what they're getting when it comes to permitting and trying to get a house built. And, you know, plans are stuck for 5 or 6 or 8 months. So they're paying a fee. They don't like what they're getting. If they pay 20% more and still get the same thing, that's not going to make them happy. If they pay a lot more but get results in a month, they might not like what they're paying for, but they're going to get a great result if we can perform. And hopefully that will make things work better. It might bolster a better economy. It might, as we just said, bring more business. It might make things happen. It also might get us better employees. It might bring a better quality employee. So,
yeah.
Here comes Haley. What did I do?
No, you're good. So I'd like to speak on this process issue that you guys... Sorry, Haley Lang, Deputy Director of Planning and Community Development. So when we're talking process, right, there's a lot of stuff that goes into planning. So someone submits a use permit, you know, for a commercial business, right? We have to make findings, you know, per state law, per county code, per general plan. But our general plan is from 1980, right? So it precludes CEQA requirements. And so we have to look at everything at a project level basis with CEQA, which adds a ton of time and money. When you have an updated general plan, it has a program EIR. So you can streamline a lot of these project nuances, which expedite the process, right? So we're kind of in a weird situation where the plan is so outdated, we have to look at things project level. Whereas if there was, you know, an updated long-range plan, it would streamline and expedite CEQA for every single project.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
There you go.
Thank you, Haley.
Yeah, so, and so, how do we do that? Because, I mean, as long as I've been on this board, you know, it's we've been fearful of, it's, you know, a $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 million project, and we don't have the money to do it.
Yes.
But
thank you.
Is there money out there that can assist us in that? Besides,
not really. I mean, in some, right? We just got the LEAP grants that allowing us to do the housing element, which is in process right now. But that's the point of this meeting discussion today, is to get the general plan updated. So we sat down and devised a plan. But with that, whether you increase fees or not, what we like to do is get a account that is set aside in the planning department, committed account, to put money into to fulfill that endeavor. And I would suggest that we, even if we didn't change the thing, right, I would like to change the piece where we get the pass-through, but dedicate half of that revenue, put it into the committed account so that we can fulfill the general plan update. We're looking at 6 years down the road to get to that. But if you don't plan, you don't get anywhere ever, which has been happening with our insanity track for the last 60 years. So we can move on down the slide zone, bring Haley Lang back up here and discuss what our plan is to get the general plan updated and have the ability to be a little more streamlined. There you go. Go ahead and scroll down. Slide 15.
Supervisor Hawk, one more. I have a question.
Come back to my passion again. So, is it the general plan that's triggering that fish and wildlife thing because we're looking at it project by project, or would there be...
That's any discretionary project. Yeah. It's anything, yeah. So I believe it's built in the state legislator.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I thought I had enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Haley Lang.
Yeah, so the general plan, Siskiyou County General Plan, as I mentioned, hasn't been updated since 1980, and the general plan has multiple elements, right? There's land use, geothermal, energy, transportation, all of those fun things. So I've been going through the general plan to see how can we update this, you know, how, in a cost-effective manner, right? As I mentioned, the main issue is that our plan is so outdated, it precludes CEQA, right? So that's a huge cost, right? When you update a long-range plan, you have to incur CEQA costs. And so, can you go to the next one, actually? One more. So the elements highlighted in yellow, those are state mandated. So every single local jurisdiction has to have them. Circulation, conservation, land use are a few. And so I've been thinking of ways, like I said, how to update these elements. And so there's a few mechanisms, but anyways, the circulation element, we can actually adopt the RTPs of the Local Transportation Commission. They have a regional transportation plan, has an EIR document, basically same required information that you need for a circulation element. So, you know, the planning department, we can adopt that as our own circulation element, right? Conservation and open space, those are also required elements. Those can be updated, and there are mechanisms to be exempt from CEQA if you don't necessarily change policies in a substantial manner. So that is a streamlined process for these smaller elements. The land use element is the big one. That's the one that has most of the policies that we have to make required findings for. There's no way around the CEQA exemption for that because our policies are so outdated. And you know, with that, we need to kind of have more up-to-date policies so we can streamline projects and things like that. So with updated policies, you're able to make findings quicker, like I mentioned. You know, CEQA streamlining for that element. Let me go to the next slide. And so, As I mentioned before, noise, that's an element that can be updated with a CEQA exemption if no new or significant changes occur, right? So that's the whole point, is trying to go through this document and figure out how can we update this in the sense that, you know, it's more relevant but not essentially significant, right? Because that's what triggers CEQA. And also the safety, I want to note a lot of other smaller local, you know, counties, they'll adopt their local hazard mitigation plan as their safety element. So, you know, by repurposing and utilizing documents that were already required and mandated to do by the state, that also creates efficiencies, you know, within programs and things like that. Next slide. Next slide. And so this is our high-level timeline that, you know, Rick and I have created in terms of how are we going to get these elements updated. Do you
want to
add anything to
you? Just that it's dollar dependent, and this is very aggressive.
Yeah.
It's very what?
Aggressive.
Aggressive,
yeah. And so, you know, I've been trying to figure out the cost, right, and talking to consultants and just getting kind of an idea of, you know, the realities here, right? And so to do, because the plan has been not touched, right, think of it as, you know, we haven't maintained it, so due to the unmaintenance of it, the cost is going to be massive. If we were just to do a sweeping update, it would probably be, you know, $1.5 million.
How much?
$1.5, yeah. And so, and that's the average cost I got from multiple consultants I was, you know, chatting with just to get a feel.
And that's like hitting this timeline?
That would be to hit a timeline, let's say it would probably take about 2 years to update every single element along with the public participation and CEQA and everything that goes on to that, a 2-year process for sure. And so, you know, my thought was to kind of piecemeal this update, right? So do these lower level elements that we can kind of stay within the CEQA exemption, not trigger anything, such as noise, conservation, you know, those policies don't necessarily need to be updated. So that's very doable. And then, as I mentioned, adopting the RTP as a circulation, right? That's a no-brainer. Or adopting our local hazard mitigation plan as our safety element. Because really the big cost is associated with the land use element, but that's the one that is the most pertinent and important to, you know, our processes when we're analyzing projects.
So, I think what I'm hearing is when you go back to the first slide of revenue, wages, expense, in the wage category, because of the time and I'll call it even stress of getting through what we have, and I'll say unknowingly, contributed to this board, because I guess I wasn't aware that the general plan was holding or was actually costing us money. The update was actually costing us money when 16 or 20 years ago, if we just bit the bullet, we'd be far better off on that wage line because we'd be actually doing more with that.
Sure.
And it wouldn't be such an intense part of what has to be subsidized by the general plan. So where I'm headed with this is, I appreciate this timeline, but now I'm going to look to the CAO, because that's where we look for money. do we have anything out there, even do we have any extra COVID money that could actually give this a jump start? Because I guess what I'm looking at is that if there's some way to invest $1 million into this process and getting the update, we're going to reap the benefit on the other side, versus this struggle of just continuing to just throw subsidized money at something that we could actually correct if we invested it right.
Understood. Understood. Angela Davis, County Administrator. I did have a sidebar conversation with Ms. Lang about this piecemeal project as presented. Do you want to say the dollar amount?
Sure, yeah. So, as I mentioned, right, if we were just to blow this up, do it all about, you know, 1.5 2 million. The piecemeal approach, we're estimating about, you know, 700,000, a million, because like I said, the adoption of those other, you know, programming documents and the CEQA exemption for the smaller elements would reduce that overall cost.
So with that being said, you know, that's a savings. Thank you, Ms. Lynn, for the savings. And so it would just be a task that we would have to go back to the table and take a look at any potential revenue streams, any grants, any opportunities available to be able to fund this, because as you, I think if the direction is that if we were able to update our general plan, that is going to benefit us in the long run. We're going to get a much greater bang for our buck supporting the general plan update and being able to expedite processes where we're not able to at this point.
Right.
So I will definitely go back and have some discussions with Sherry Lawson, who is our chief fiscal CAO deputy, and we'll scour and see what we can find.
Because I don't see it coming through just the fee increase and getting to where we want. In a timely fashion, I think we're still going to be kicking the can.
Right.
So, I mean, from my perspective, that general plan update would be a fairly high priority to get ahead of the curve. We've just kicked the can too far. We've actually harmed ourselves.
That said, we could be a little strategic about it. With what we have right now. So we develop a committed account, and the board so chose to dedicate half of our revenue annually, put it in that committed account, where we could target it maybe $200,000 a year, right? The general fund is still going to eventually pay for that, right? Out of what they're going to. Let's say if we could drop in $200,000 a year into that committed account, 5 years from now we'd have $1 million and be able to do the land use element part of it. And in the meantime, try to take care of the lower hanging fruit as a potential strategy.
Supervisor Howe.
If City of Davis can't find that magical golden box somewhere.
There is no golden box. I've looked.
Come on.
you probably thought of this, but I'm trying to be clever. You know, there are pieces of this in my mind that fit watershed issues. Some of the land use planning is loosely infrastructure. Are there ways this can be broken to fit grants rather than trying to get a comprehensive planning grant? Those are pretty hard to come by.
Yeah. So there are a lot of popular grants for this, you know, through the state you know, that are watershed or, let's say, transportation based. So it is very easy, or easier to update, you know, let's say a conservation element or a transportation element, just because those funding sources are pretty regular. And so a lot of local government, you know, they'll go after it. Unfortunately, for land use, it's very, very difficult, and usually with those funding sources, it's hard to make that connection or mechanism. You know, for, let's say, if it was California Fish and Wildlife grant, you know, wanting to pay for a land use element, they usually have difficulty kind of trying to make a nexus for land use specifically.
A big piece of land use is, you know, from a conservation standpoint, is Scott Valley plan. There ought to be money for planning like that, from a conservation standpoint. There ought to be elements from even CAL FIRE, from a wildland interface standpoint, to be able to support an effort such as this. I'm just interested in any way we can be, we can cleverly articulate fitting a niche in getting other funding sources from outside the county that would supplement this piece that you're asking to set aside.
Sure. Supervisor Hogan?
We pretty much had our conversation yesterday. Nothing we haven't already talked about today again. I just want to really thank you for spending so much time to try to make this happen. Something that's been needed for a long time. And I really hope it doesn't take the 5 or 10 years that you think it might to get it back to where it needs to be. And I really hope that we can spend some time looking at processes. And I know that you have spent so much time and energy looking to try to streamline things and work to make the processes better over the last year. And so many people have said how happy they are compared to what they used to be. And I know there's been a lot of progress there. And I don't want you to feel like we're not happier than we were.
Thank you for that.
But there's, and I hate to say this, but there's always room to get better at it.
Absolutely.
And to, you know, to work through more and more of that. And we're always working with less and trying to get more, squeeze more. But there's got to be a better way to always skin that cat. So keep working at getting better at those processes, please.
Will do.
And then in regards, kind of, I know we've discussed your presentation, but we've done it in different parts and whatnot, which is fine. I want to follow one quick thing. Supervisor Hopp brought up you know, watershed aspects of it. I know the North Coast Resource Partnerships been working on some stuff. Okay, so if you mentioned that, it might have some stuff to help out with. Some of the watershed aspects of it, potentially. I know they're also working on wildlife, fire, and those sorts of things. So it might be, of course, as a board, we're not deferring to the North Coast to make our decisions for Siskiyou County. They might have information that the board can digest and then put forward on the general plan from our standpoint. And then with that, just, you know, moving the meeting along, I see the last part you wanted, if you have anything more else to tell us, be sure. Feel free to tell us, but I know you wanted to address the fee schedule, and then you also wanted the committed account and direction from the board. Of course, we have the long-term goal, the general plan, and then efficiencies there, but we also have the short-term needs over that period of time as people, what do we want to charge for a fee, and what do we want to do there? Mr. Dean?
Yeah, can you go to slide six, please? Yeah. Item M up there is what it's talking about with the environmental impact report. Gives us the ability to contract costs plus 10% admin fee. Right. If nothing else, I would ask if you have direction to include all the other CEQA situations that we have for mitigated debt and so forth. And in that situation where we need to contract out with the consultant, we can have that same pass-through mechanism that the applicant pays for. That would be...
For CEQA.
Huge, yeah. For CEQA projects. And the expense line items, you know, I predict would be cut in half, basically, if we can achieve that specific part.
Can you give an example of a CEQA project that takes us in a different direction?
Let's see here. So the lower level project, somewhere like the ski park we're doing right now, right? So we went out, we had bids at $50,000. So the contractor at $25,000. But had we not had the volunteer of the ski park to come up and pay for that, that would be on us to pay.
But they did.
Yeah.
So that's what you're asking is essentially...
Did we take that begging mechanism out?
Not everybody's going to volunteer, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. Yep. Hmm. They had a timeline that was extremely fast-paced and wanted to try to achieve that. And
right.
Here's your options.
Okay.
And they're good partners, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The only thing I get, I guess, a little bit nervous about is, you know, we keep hearing about new wells and requiring CEQA, but, you know, John Q. homeowner, I don't know if that would apply there, and that's where I get a little nervous. I mean, I get it for the business aspect, because that there's revenue generating, but for the guy just building a house, that gets a little sticky for me. So how does that work?
Sure. So, I mean, sorry, we work as hard as we can to find exemptions, right, to lower costs for folks. Usually, if you're building a single family residential home, that's exempted by CEQA for the most part, right? CEQA is usually for large-scale projects. So there's already a lot of costs that are kind of incurred, you know, within that. So for the most part, smaller level projects, we can find an exemption for, and we do everything to do that. So.
And I'm supportive of what your ask is on that.
Yeah, your conversation regarding the wells and potential CEQA for the wells is a huge thing that makes us all very nervous, right?
Yeah.
Right now, that process would be going through natural resources, and how that's all figured out in the future is still an unknown, really. Get there, but
in concept, I support what you're talking about, because you bring that back in a format for us to look at in detail for this line, like you're saying on him for CEQA, or would it just look like that and just say CEQA?
Yeah, so it would basically look like that and slash CEQA documents or whatever the best terminology. We could add negative declaration or negative deck on that line item M. Pop that up there.
Not
one. Okay, good. So then,
I think that's the last one. You got to count the three up here, okay?
Yeah. So, direction from the board. How would you like us to proceed with fee schedule in general? And then also, you know, what we just talked about, line item M, which would be a huge aspect. And then also establishing a committed account for the general plan update and a percentage, I guess, of the revenue that you would be comfortable putting in there at this time. We want to be in a position, if we do ever find grants that need match or whatever, to be able to, you know, participate with that. So if we don't have any gunpowder at all, still spend our will, so.
I think also along those lines, to say there's a grant match, I'm just throwing out general numbers here,
mm-hmm.
But this say it's a 10% match, 100,000 for a million. I'd hate to have, we don't have the money in the account, we can't do it. We'll bring it to the board and the board can make that decision, you know, the general fund dollars. I'm just throwing it out there from a policy perspective. Then jumping into this too, I'm looking to Ms. Davis, putting you on the spot. And there's a discussion for percentage you would want to dedicate towards committed account, percentage of planning division. Either way, we're going to be, my point being is that if we take a percentage of the revenue that we make in planning, dedicate it towards the general plan, which we're all supportive of, we're going to have the general fund paying a little bit more to cover it. So either way we do it, the general fund's taking from it.
Yeah.
And so I look at someone, you know, you and Ms. Lawson, you know, the general budget. I can't dedicate a percentage here in my mind until we know what we kind of commit from the general fund anyways. So yeah, for you to look at, Ms. Davis, and stuff like that. I know you want an answer here today, but I can't answer that without knowing either way it's coming from the general fund. And I'd love to say 100% of it should come that way, but then I'm cutting another department somewhere, so.
Just happy to have the conversation.
Yeah, I want to have it.
So I just say, just let's move forward. I mean, this is, that doesn't end today. We've got to, I'm looking at all angles because I think it's critical to the process, if you will. I do think people have to pay the going rate. Rates are going up. They're not going down, unfortunately. But within that, I think there is accountability when you, I don't use the building department. People expect when you get a building, when you get in a timely fashion. So I think in the whole general idea is to improve the process. So I'm for the committed account, I'm for everything that you got presented for, and I'm willing to move forward. Thank you.
I'm supportive, but I do want to hear the staff work, see how this actually flushes out. Concept, we need to do this.
Any direction regarding the fee schedule in general?
I think for me it comes later. I'm okay with B, and I'm even going to go so far as to say the committed account, I don't think you should do a percentage. I think Supervisor Chris started to get onto that track. It's going to be general fund money. How much of the general fund money are we going to put, or do we have money that's sitting somewhere?
There may be.
Or maybe there's one-time money that's coming to the county that we can commit to this process. But I'm going to harp a bit more on expediting, because it's easy to talk here about grants and about money that's available. We all know how that works. It takes years. We need to expedite getting the general plan updated within the 2.5 year mark for me. 5 years, I know, is short term for government, but the private sector, even 2.5 is too long. But I'll go to 2.5. We need to really concentrate on getting this thing across the finish line, because far too long we've sat here, and we have just adopted that philosophy of leave it alone, because it's going to cost too much to fix the general plan. In hindsight, I wish I had been more aware of being able to become more efficient through just biting the bullet and getting that done. So I won't be satisfied unless we can actually start to move on this more in an expedited way within the next 2.5 years, find that money somewhere, and give the CAO, her department, an opportunity to go look and see what's out there that can jumpstart that, anticipate any one-time money that might be coming down the pipe via, I don't know what, but somewhere that could contribute to this, to getting this thing jump-started. I won't be content just sitting here waiting for some, miracle to happen at this point. We need to actually move on this, and I'll leave it at that.
So I think that's why I support a fee increase, because I think that's taking part of it. It's going to help fund that. I also think that, we talk about a committed account, to me it's like a capital improvement plan. You've got to put money into it. Yeah. And you got to start slowly and build and do it every year. So when you do have that, because it's going to be skin in the game. If there's a matching grant, you want to be able to say, we're there, type thing. So that's where I'm at with this.
I think there's money out there that we should be anticipating, and we could just start doing it. That's where I'm coming from. I'm not going to wait anymore.
And then a question I have, Mr. Dean.
Yes, sir.
And for a question. When we look at the, because you said Humboldt charges the actual cost for their deal. It's near the end of the slide, sorry guys. I think everybody has that page anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there. Yes.
So, and then Shasta County, they have everyone has their dollar figures here, and we have our dollar figures. What I'm interested in is, if you guys can easily calculate it, because I don't want to spend a bunch of time, because that would defeat the purpose. How much does it cost if the general plan was updated? What would be the actual cost if we don't update it? The reason what would be the actual cost to do the sand boundary line adjustment or a mine or a certificate of compliance? Doing the general plan update, how much are we actually saving for the actual cost of doing it? Interest me, and then because that'll be probably what we'll, because when we have that answer, that'll be telling us where we're probably going to be setting fees for processes down the road. We're getting some looks here, so hopefully that made sense. Mm-hmm. Ms. Davis, do you have any follow-up questions? So if I get perplexed, if I get...
Angela Davis, County Administrator. No, not any follow-up questions, but I just...
I only looked at that for that reason, but I would just say that what it would... If we do pass a general plan, mm-hmm. if we don't pass a general plan, it's going to cost this amount. If we do pass it, it's going to cost this amount. What are those actual amounts?
And I would advise that we pass the general plan, but update our fee schedule to the industry standard. Mm-hmm. Regardless.
That's, yeah. All right.
So. All
right.
Which is what I was advocating for.
Yeah.
I got the same thing I said.
Just to add, we know that the fee schedule, unless we can be productive with the fee increase on our side and produce a timely product for the constituent, I'm okay. If it's a status quo, I'm not. So I was giving breathing room with saying go for B and then, you know, go for the high priority on getting the general plan and then let the fee schedule come along. Because I think I heard that, you know, if we did B on whatever you showed up there, that would be huge right out of the gate.
Ms. Anna, if you could show that to slide again, I believe it's the last page.
And I think that gets us there faster.
I'll Mr. Dean, staff.
There you go.
Here we go there. So B and, all right.
I mean, I know we look at the fee schedule, but I think that just doing B right out of the chute gets you going faster than what it's going to take to do the other.
Huh? Yep, agreed. Yeah. It's a big step. It's huge. That's where Sister County's been in the dark ages.
And money on the table in that, just in B alone.
Okay, so if I'm understanding correctly right now at this point from the board, direction is to go ahead and implement B into the fee schedule and also create a committed account.
Look at my colleagues.
Anything to get the process going. I'm there.
The board seems to be there.
And then pray for rain.
And the board is fine with the decision on A, the delay on A? Two colleagues mentioned the industry board, so.
I think you're looking at it. I just don't think you're going to get it out of the chute quick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and with A, I did not want to spend a lot of staff time going and analyzing things are going to cost here and there, so I just brought it here for direction.
Right. With that, I think we're good. You don't need any motions here, Mr. Kinnon, do we?
I think it was just.
You don't necessarily need one. There is a motion, recommended motion. Direction to take into consideration the discussion. Make it if you wish.
I think he has direction. I think he's going to come back with it.
However, Angela Davis, I would suggest a motion for the committed account so that we don't
have. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So.
Do we put an amount or are we just saying that we're going
to. No, just to establish.
So I would move that and that there'll be some, I guess. Financial background on where we might be able to find some of that money to put towards a committed account? Is that where
correct.
You want to go?
We'll come back to the board with dollar amounts or ideas, options for the board to make a decision as to.
That would be my motion in whatever form that is.
And
a roll call vote?
Well, the way I take it is establish a committed account within the planning division specific for the general plan update. No percentage. Thank you. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
With that, we will. Yes.
We do have one comment.
Oh, one public comment. Okay, absolutely. Just take it. Thank you. Chair, a screen was covered there. I didn't see the Zoom hands. Yeah.
Caller ending in. 2131, it's your turn to speak.
Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Ann Marsh, and I'm just appalled that you voted before public could speak. I hope you realize there are people out here that would like to make a comment. My comment is that in putting this before the board the way it was, it alerted a lot of people that there might be a general plan amendment change update coming. And the public needs to be informed at the earliest stages and request, let their wishes be known to you folks when you're doing this general plan update. I sent a letter. It wasn't mentioned. I hope you got it. I sent it to enough people that somebody should have had it regarding this. And so please, in your budgeting and fee scheduling, include the fact that you're going to have many public meetings to meet the requirements of keeping the public informed. I appreciate your time on this, and thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Marsh. Any other public comments?
Showing not online.
No other online?
And Ms. Marsh did send a letter. I did forward it to the board. I didn't get it until this morning, but it is regarding what her comments about the general plan update.
Yeah, and I read it as well, I believe, last
Thank
night.
You.
This morning. But
here, all we did today is provide direction to come back to the board, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah. With that, we'll go into a short recess.